Now, as I begin today, I want to start with the question, does anyone not know what is going on in our country this Tuesday? So what is happening this Tuesday? There's an election. Yes, we have an election. The yard signs are up. The ads have been on TV and in the print media and all the other media, and we have been hearing all about it. Hello? And unless you've already voted, for those of us of voting age, this Tuesday is our opportunity for our voice to be heard. And the beauty of our democracy is that we have a voice. We have a say. We have a way for our voice to be heard. And I hope you will exercise your right to vote. Now, one of the things about this election cycle that I've noticed is that there seems to be a lot of strife and anger, discord and factions, dissension and rage even. In our democracy, we've always had room for strong convictions, various opinions, heated arguments, but there's also been an awareness that somehow we still have got to respect one another. We still have got to be civil with one another, not demonize others. We have to find a way to coexist with people that we might have a strong disagreement with. We got to find a way, or the system breaks down, or it becomes terribly strained. And so in thinking about all of that, I have realized that it is important for us Christians from time to time to be reminded who we are and what it is we're called to do. And certainly when it comes to our faith, we are called to live it. To live it. Amen? To live it out. What it means with our relationship of faith in Jesus Christ. To live it out in what it means to follow Him. To live it when it comes to walking with Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the criticisms that we hear today is that too many Christians are hypocrites. That we say one thing, but we live another. That we are not authentic, but instead we put on these masks and we pretend to be people that we're not. So in the midst of everything that is going on today in our culture and in our world, I thought that I would lift up a series titled Live It. Live It. And one thing that I've learned through the years is this: the Scriptures are always relevant. The Scriptures are always relevant. If there is something going on in the world, the Scriptures speak to it. Amen? The Scriptures are always relevant, always helpful in any situation, in any circumstance. If we will stay close to Jesus, and if we will stay close to the Scriptures, we will find the way forward. So in our text from Galatians chapter 5, Paul is instructing the Galatian believers on how to live it, how it is that they can live out their faith in their day. And he says in Galatians 5:13, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be what? Free. But do not use your freedom to what? Indulge the sinful nature. Rather, what? Serve one another in love." Now, the entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. But then he goes on, "If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." So what is Paul saying? He's saying, do not indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another, love one another. That's what Jesus said. Remember, love your neighbor as yourself. And then in verse 15, he says, if you keep on what? Biting and devouring each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. Wow. That's pretty relevant, isn't it? He is talking to believers and he says, we are not to be biting and devouring each other. He says that we believers in Jesus ought to be different. We have been forgiven. We have peace with God. We have the promise of eternal life. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit, God's power that has come to live within us. We also have the example of Jesus, his self-sacrificing life, and the call to follow him, to go make disciples of all peoples, and the call to love God and to love our neighbor. The call to, he said, be holy as I am holy. The scriptures and Jesus himself indicate that we Christians, we Christ followers, ought to be different. The world ought to see that we are different. So when I was in high school, during my pre-Christ following days, there were two of my classmates, two girls, who particularly were shining their light in a way that caught my attention. There was something different about them. I was drawn to it. I was captivated by it. They always seemed positive and hopeful. Now, I know now that they were simply reflecting the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their lives because of their connection with Jesus. But at that time, I didn't understand about that. What I did understand is they were different. There was something about them. They had, it turns out, grown enough in their faith that Christ's light was just naturally shining through them. They were different. But that's not necessarily so for every Christ follower. Just because we have claimed Jesus as Lord and Savior doesn't mean that we automatically have been changed to be like him. We can still, it turns out, indulge our sinful nature and ignore the Spirit. And you know, I wonder if perhaps there aren't some Christians today who are doing some of that. We don't want that to be us. We don't want that to be us. So how do we live it out today? What is needed for our lives to reflect the Christ that we follow? How do we live it? How do we live our faith in a way that glorifies God and shines his light? Simply put, we live by the Spirit. Yes, we live by the Spirit. We learn to live by the Spirit's power rather than our sinful nature. Paul says it like this in Galatians 5:16. So I say, live by the what? Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. So we have a decision to make. We can decide, I am not going to live by my sinful nature anymore. Yes, it's going to be a battle. The sinful nature is still part of me, but I'm not going to let it enslave me. I'm not going to let it control me any longer. Instead, I'm going to yield to the Holy Spirit power of God. I'm going to cry out to God. I'm going to let God have control of my life. Now that's a huge decision. It's a big part of what it means to declare Jesus is the Lord, the Savior of my life. We're saying in declaring him Lord, I'm not calling the shots anymore. He is. I'm no longer the master. He is. I'm no longer the Lord of my life. He is. And every serious person who has ever followed Jesus has come to that decision point. People like Simon Peter, the Apostle Paul, people like Martin Luther, John Wesley, but people like you and me as well. We make a decision to live by the Spirit, not according to our sinful nature anymore. Part of living it today is admitting that there is within us a sinful nature. We acknowledge the acts of the sinful nature. There's a part of us that desires, the scripture says, to live contrary to the Spirit of God, contrary to the will of God. And Paul spells it out like this in Galatians 5, 19 and 21. He says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Then he has this list: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft. And now this next part of the list really captures my attention, because I see in these words some of what I see reflected in our culture in these days. He says, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. Now, none of these things or this tone is supposed to be a part of a Christ follower's conversation or discussion. We can encounter these things perhaps in the world, but it's not supposed to be part of who we are. He goes on, drunkenness and orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul is talking to believers, and he says, if you live like this, if this is your continued expression of life, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. Now, wow, that's a pretty strong statement. Now, I hope that that would have a lot of our attention. So what do we do? What do we do if we're going to live it, if we're going to live out our faith, live by the Spirit? Well, I would say several things. First of all, we cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. We do everything we can to nurture, to encourage, to cultivate the fruit of God's Spirit within our hearts and lives. Get this, you were created to be fruitful. Amen? Let's pray for those guys as they're traveling to wherever that is. Lord, bless them. Jesus said in John 15, 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and to bear fruit, fruit that will last. You were created to bear fruit. But will you do it? What is our part? How do we bear this fruit that will last? Well, our part, as I understand it, is first of all to enter into a relationship with Jesus by faith. That is the first step. And then we continue to what the scripture calls to abide. We abide. We continue to bond with. We continue to stay connected with Him. We abide in Christ. We stay connected through prayer, through reading the scriptures, through worship. We abide. The Holy Spirit's role is to produce spiritual fruit. I don't know about you, but I used to think, man, I got to produce some fruit. I got to produce some fruit. You know, I've got to muster up some fruit somehow. If the fruit is going to be, it is up to me. But then I read the scripture. Then I heard the scripture preached, and I realized, no, I don't produce the fruit. I don't produce it. I abide. That's what I do. I simply abide in Christ. The Holy Spirit produces the fruit. I love how Paul spells it out. He says, now the acts of the sinful nature are these. And again, he has his list: sexual immorality and impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I like it when God gives us lists, specific lists that, you know, that I can look at. There's, I don't know about you, but it just helps me to see, you know, this is what I'm talking about, this right here. But then, and he says, those that live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But then Paul gives us another list, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. This is also very specific, very helpful. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Again, don't we appreciate God's lists? Here are the things that we should see in our lives as the Holy Spirit is producing the fruit. We abide. He provides the fruit. We abide. We stay connected. We stay close to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit works an amazing change in us. One of the things that I appreciate about Celebrate Recovery on Thursday nights is the testimonies that we hear. Every other week on Thursday nights, we hear a testimony from someone who has experienced recovery in their life through faith in Jesus Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit. So just the other night, a couple, sometimes it's a one person sharing, and this time it was a couple, a married couple from another church, shared how that Christ delivered them from some real darkness that grew up in their life and saved their marriage. Helped both of them deal with the darkness that was there and saved their marriage. Now, how does that happen? It happens through faith in Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. So what do we do? How do we live it? How do we live out our faith? We live by the Spirit, as we've said. We live by the Spirit. We acknowledge the sinful nature, yes, but we are no longer controlled by it. And instead, we cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. We let God have control. Let Him be the Lord, the master of our lives. What's another way to talk about that? We crucify the sinful nature. We not only say yes to God's new nature, but we say no to our old nature. We crucify it. Like the cross that Jesus hung on, we take our old self, our old sinful nature, and metaphorically, we place that on the cross as well. Paul says in Galatians 5:24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. You've put those old passions and desires to death. You've declared, that is no longer who I am. Now, the enemy may come around. He may try to resurrect your old self, your old desires, those old memories, but by the Holy Spirit's power, you say, no, I have put those down. I have crucified that. I have killed that off. They no longer have a place. They no longer have control in my life. The other night, in a small group, someone said, I have been down the road of alcohol and drugs and methamphetamines. But God is delivering me from that. Those things are no longer my master. I am no longer enslaved. I have got new freedom, new life. Who but God can do something like this through faith in His Son Jesus? We have crucified the sinful nature. That's how you keep civil in your discourse. That's how we serve one another in love. That's how we still respect someone even though we have a real disagreement between us. What Christ did for my sin, I'm doing to my sinful nature. I am nailing it to that tree. It no longer has control over me. That's how we live it. That's how we live it. We crucify the old sinful nature. Finally, how do we live it? We keep in step with the Spirit. We keep in step with the Spirit. We don't become distracted. We don't let things pull us back. We keep in step with the Spirit and what God is doing in the world. Loving and saving, redeeming, restoring people of all backgrounds and circumstances, young and old, black and white, rich and poor, liberal or conservative, hawk or dove, male and female, Republican, Democrat, first world, third world, theist, atheist. Paul reminds believers in Galatians 5:25 and 26, since we live by the Spirit, let us what? Keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. We keep in step with the Spirit. We let the Spirit order our lives. On the one hand, with the Spirit's help, we do battle against the forces of darkness, the works of enemy in the world. We resist the devil. We know he must flee. And we've seen some of his handiwork in our culture in recent days. And we resist that with everything that we've got. But we also ask God to show us the positive work that he is doing in the world to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for captives, to declare recovery of sight for the blind and relief for the oppressed, so that we can join him in it. Remember this, you were created to bear fruit. Amen? If you are a Christ follower, you have received the Holy Spirit, and as you abide in Christ, as you stay connected, as you stay close, as you stay committed, the Holy Spirit will bear fruit in your life. He will do it. And what kind of fruit? I want to talk briefly about three of them. The first three that Paul mentions in Galatians 5:22. First of all, love. This thing called agape love, unconditional love. Someone has defined this love as a dogged determination to show someone love even though they don't deserve it. You know, someone who's received that kind of love? You and me. That's the kind of love that God has displayed for us. Dogged determination to love us even when we and he know we haven't deserved it. Joy. Another fruit. Joy. Christ-centered joy. This is the kind of joy that gives us a healthy perspective even in the face of adversity. James in James 1, 2, and 3 said, "My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance." One of the most amazing testimonies we can have is joy, even in the midst of trials and testing. Our sister in Christ, Janet Holt, is showing that kind of joy in the midst of her trial right now. And what a witness she bears. Another fruit, peace. A God-given peace that eliminates worry and fear and anxiety. So what do we do and say when it seems like the world is going crazy? What do we do and say when it seems like everything is topsy-turvy and upside down? Well, we say, hey, God is still on the throne. God still holds the world in the palm of his hand. Our eternity in Christ is still secure. And what happens between now and then is going to be, you know, we're going to get through it because God is with us. We may experience some crazy times in life. Amen? And there are crazy times in this world. They just happen, yes. Nonetheless, we can be people of love, joy, and peace because God is with us and Christ Jesus is still the Lord and the Savior of our lives, and the Holy Spirit is still at work to lead and to guide us in the way that we should go. So remember this, as we keep in step with the Spirit, as you keep in step with the Spirit, God's fruit flourishes in you. I love that word. That word. You and God have a lot to offer a world that is lost and shaken. You got a lot to offer. So live it. Live it. Live out your faith. Let your light shine. Let your heart for Jesus reflect his love, joy, and peace. Let's pray about that. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, gracious Master, Almighty God, loving Lord, we thank you for this wonderful relationship that we have, that we can have with you through faith in your Son, Jesus. Because of what he has done, we can have new life. We can have a new beginning. We can have a fresh start. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection makes it possible.